Good morning. So I had to start out this morning by just saying you're either dedicated, you're insensitive to cold, or you're just darn crazy. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure some of you are there. I'm guessing all of the above. Okay, probably fairly true, all of the above. It's great to have those of you that made it here in person. It's also great to have those of you that are online. You might be the smarter ones. I was thinking maybe this morning I should just have broadcast from my home and I could have stayed nice and warm by the fireplace. But no, it's awesome to see those of you that made it here and also awesome to have those of you that joined us online as well. Well, today we're in week 3 of our series called Meaningful. And over the last 2 weeks, we've been diving into the book of Ecclesiastes. And one thing I appreciate about Ecclesiastes is that Solomon really calls it like he sees it. He doesn't try to over-spiritualize things. He talks about the good and balances it with the bad. He leans into both. In fact, he's so to that point that I think sometimes it can be even a little bit depressing. I mean, turn back and think back to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2. It starts out by saying, everything is meaningless, completely meaningless. And you're kind of like, well, awesome. This is a great way to start, right? I mean, really want to read anymore. I just kind of want to stop there. Let's move on to the next book. But I think really as a reader, we look at that and we're like, okay, but I get that, but I really want to live a life of meaning. I really want a life that's full, a life that's free from regrets. So really our goal throughout this series is to take this, to take what Solomon is saying and to be able to pull out of it some lessons that we can learn that can apply to our lives and make meaning to our lives. If you haven't heard the first two messages, I want to encourage you to go back and check those out, okay? Because Pastor Brandon the first week talked about this whole idea that the timing is everything and everything has a season. It's great, really, things for us to go back and kind of look at that as well. But then last week, Pastor Sam talked about how everything is really about this whole idea of injustice and how living life isn't just living it just as we like it, that there's more to it, that we're taking advantage of those moments. Well, today we're going to look at how we can live a life of meaning or meaningful life by living a life of legacy today. Before we dive in, let's take a moment, and would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather together this morning. Father, we just are thankful that we can come here and we can worship you. Father, we pray for the lessons, the things that you are teaching us. We pray that we can glean what you want us to glean from this word, from these messages, from this text. And Father, just help teach us, help us to open our hearts to hear you today. Father, we thank you for just who you are in our lives, that we can come to you and ask all of these things. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Smith Magazine, I don't know if you've ever heard of it before. It's an online community. The whole purpose of it is to celebrate the joy of storytelling. One of their most popular parts, and you may have heard of this, is called the six-word memoirs. And really, it's about where people will submit six-word stories that tell a little bit about their life. They kind of dive into different pieces of it. One of the most famous examples of a six-word story was this one. It says, "For sale, baby shoes never worn." And you take and you think about that for a little bit, and that's like heavy, isn't it? That's deep. You even just in those six words, it tells a powerful story, and it's sad. I mean, it definitely starts to pull on our heartstrings a little bit in the midst of it. And so these six-word stories, as I said, can be pretty powerful, but even during COVID, they had a part of their site that they had people submit stories of different things in COVID. I think maybe some of us can identify with. The first one is this, missing warm hugs with family, friends. I mean, I know there's many of us that probably get to that spot. I don't know about you, but I know when people come in here, you kind of ask that question, hey, are you hugging yet? Because we're hoping that someone's hugging now because it's just been so long since we've been able to hug someone. Another one that I saw was about COVID-19 was really probably has to do with parents and maybe some students and definitely teachers as well. And it said, online learning always wears me out. Anybody have that? Understand with that? Yeah. It's like, amen to that one, right? It's like, yes, okay, I'm a little bit done with that. And I think there's even some funny stuff that comes from them as well. Like this one that says, look, my mask matches my outfit. I mean, how many of us are now trying to make sure that we match? I mean, you can't clash with that mask. I mean, come on. That's really good. So, but maybe you guys can think of some others that you can add to the mix But I think we look at these moments, we look at these six-word stories, and they capture moments and they capture stories of our life. But when you put them together, they start to describe a little bit more of our life, maybe even our legacy. I think as we look back over some six-word stories, maybe 5 or 10 years down the road, we'll probably have a good idea of what was really going on at this time, really what was really happening in our lives. And it made me think of some different Bible characters and maybe some of the six-word stories that would describe their legacy, their story. I mean, most of us know the story of Noah and the ark and the flood and all of that. Maybe his six-word story would be hated the rain, loved the rainbow. I mean, I think it's very, very appropriate. I'm sure he was really tired of the rain after 40 days and 40 nights. I don't know about you, but I think that I'd get pretty tired of that. But he was very happy to see that rainbow. Other stories, if you guys remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, about King Nebuchadnezzar that threw them in the fire. Maybe their six-word story would be, king was hot, furnace was not. I just love that one. I'm like, that's a powerful, powerful story. But see, these six-word stories, they're fun to read, and they get you really, really thinking, but made me even think, well, what would the six words that I would maybe use to describe my life? I started thinking about different ups and downs and different things that happened in my life, the good and the bad, and it also made me kind of go to the next question, and that question was, what are the decisions that I'm making today? How are they impacting my story? The things that I'm doing today, how are they impacting my legacy? And if the story isn't what I want it to be, what can I do about it? What power do I have to make those changes? What can I do today to impact the legacy that I will leave behind when I die? Living a life of legacy today is all about taking advantage of the moments that we have in our everyday life to build the story that tell our life not only today, but through the legacy that we leave behind forever. If you want to turn to your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, that's where we're going to be in our text today. If you need Bibles, there's Bibles in the back. If you need one online, please let us know. We would love to be able to send one off to you. So I'm going to ask you to stay with me in the text today, okay? Don't tune me out after the first verses because it's actually a little depressing, kind of like Ecclesiastes chapter 1. It gets a little bit heavy, but I promise it will get better. So there's three different sections that we're going to cover, and we're going to talk about three different six-word stories that are going to describe each of these sections. So let's turn, chapter 9, verse 1 says this. This too I carefully explored, even though the actions of the godly and wise people are in God's hands, no one knows whether God will show them favor. When I hear this being in God's hands, it brings me back to when I grew up. We had this small church that I went to in central Iowa, and I remember in back behind our sanctuary area, there's these little rooms that we had, and in these rooms where we had our children's church. And I remember one of the rooms in there, we had our little tiny pews, little people pews. You know what those are? They're the little wooden pews. But I remember growing up and being in there and singing the song, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. You guys remember that? He's got the whole world in his hands. I'm gonna stop there. I was going to sing the whole thing, but I'll spare you. But I remember that song and remember that truth that I really learned as an early age, knowing that God's got the whole world in his hands. He's got control of everything. And you look at those things and you're like, that starts to form, I think, the way we think about things and where we go. And really Solomon's saying, yeah, well, despite us knowing that we're all in God's hands, no one knows what the future will be, whether it's going to be good or whether it's going to be bad. Will there be blessing or whether there'll be sorrow, whether there'll be love or whether there'll be hatred. And I think as a Jesus follower, we get this, don't we? We say that everything's under God's control, but it ends up leading us to some other questions. Other questions like, well, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? That's a hard question. I think Solomon would take that and he would flip that question. He'd say, well, why do good things happen to bad people? Verse 2, the same destiny ultimately awaits everyone, whether righteous or wicked, good or bad, ceremonially clean or unclean, religious or irreligious, good people receive the same treatment as sinners, and people who make promises to God are treated like people that don't. Solomon is saying things I think that we recognize in our humanity today. Throughout this, he's bringing this idea of both good and bad and saying, hey, there's a common outcome for both of these people. And he says it here at the end of verse 3. It says, it seems so wrong that everyone under the sun suffers the same fate. Already twisted by evil, people choose their own mad course, for they have no hope. And here's where he gets to the common outcome. There is nothing ahead but death anyway. He's saying in the end, we all suffer the same fate. We die. Solomon's saying after looking back at everything that he sees, whether we're good or bad, clean or unclean, it doesn't matter. After all that, in the end, we all die. Happy Valentine's Day. It's like, gosh, what kind of thing is that? That just doesn't feel very good, does it? How would it look on a Valentine's Day card if it said, roses are red, violets are blue, I'm sure to die, and soon you will too. I mean, I don't think that's probably the card that we should be giving to our significant other. Some guys are right now going, it's Valentine's Day? Uh-oh, I need to be working on something. But see, our six-word story for these three verses would be this. Results not certain, but death is. Results not certain, but death is. I told you it was going to be a little bit depressing before we move on. But see, death is something that we don't like to talk about. We don't like to go there, do we? We all know that we're going to die. We get that, but we don't like to talk about it. But I think sometimes it's good for us to think about it, at least recognize it, because it helps us inform us and brings perspective on the things that we are doing each and every day. And I think that's really what Solomon is doing here. He's saying, yeah, death is inevitable. No matter who you are, no matter what you have done, it's inevitable. But, he says, here's the six-word story for the next three verses. There is hope for the living. Verse 4, there is hope only for the living. As they say, it's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. Okay, hold on. Let's pause there just for a second. I don't know if you've ever read that and you're like, it's better what? It's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. Now, that seems a little bit confusing, especially in today. See, back in Solomon's day, dogs weren't like the Bernie Doodles and the Yorkie Poos of today that we have in our culture. They're not like that. See, dogs in those days, they were scavengers. And we even see that some in third world countries even today. Think of rats of today. That's what dogs were thought of. People feared them. People loathed them. So Solomon is saying that if you're alive, there is still hope. There are still things for you today. It's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. He goes on. The living at least know they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, nor are they remembered. Whatever they did in their lifetime, loving, hating, envying, is all gone. They no longer play a part in anything here on earth. Solomon is saying that, man, the living, because of the reality, because of them knowing, they can realize the reality of their death, they have the opportunity to change their story. They have an opportunity to impact their lives, but no such possibility exists for those that have already gone. I want to stop here for a moment. For someone listening right now, life may be unbelievably hard for you. Relationships in your life may be incredibly broken and just really, really difficult. Physically, you might be going through something and dealing with some medical issues or whatever else that is. Mentally, it may be the hardest season of your life, just dealing with the pressures of everything that's happening around you. Spiritually, you might be in a place where you feel farther from God than you've ever felt before. But here's the deal. You are still alive. Your life matters. You matter. God has a purpose for your life, and he wants you to live that out. And the best thing about all of this is that you and I can live a life of legacy today. We can live a life of legacy today. You and I, we have a choice, don't we? Each day we have a choice. Our story, our legacy is not just formed by big things in our lives, even bad things in our lives, things that we wish we could get past. It's not formed by that, but it's formed by the decisions that you and I make every single moment of the day. And as we come to this last section, I want to take a look and see what that could look like. See, Solomon is saying that in light of the reality of our death, we still have hope. And how we live our lives today should reflect that hope. So out of these last three verses, I want to focus on three ways for us to live a life of legacy today. All right? First one, start a legacy of joy today. Verse 7, so go ahead, eat your food with joy and drink your wine with a happy heart, for God approves of this. Wear fine clothes and a splash of cologne. So question for you this morning. When was the last time you got dressed up, had a great meal, maybe even a glass of wine if so inclined, and maybe even splashed on a little perfume or cologne? Maybe it was an anniversary, maybe a special thing that way. Maybe it was going to a wedding. Maybe it's to a Christmas party or something like that. But when have you just done it just because? And just to celebrate and have a good time and enjoy just because. See, I think so many times we feel like we have to have a reason for it. And I believe as Christians, we should be the best at living a life of joy and a life of celebration. See, this is how God has created us. I'm reading right now in the book of Numbers, and I was looking back at that and just seeing how God even created this pattern of festivals and feasts and fellowships for us to engage in. It was part of his design. Celebration was part of the culture that God created. And Solomon is telling us the very same thing. Take time to celebrate life, to show joy in our lives. I think so many times we get so busy. We get so overwhelmed that we forget to take moments to celebrate. And these can be even really small things. One of the things that I was thinking about as I was putting this together last week was during, before COVID, we would get together, my wife and I, Terry, we would go out to eat with a bunch of people from church on Sundays afterwards. We would go out and have lunch together. And sometimes there'd be four or five, six of us. Sometimes there'd be 10, 12, or maybe more. We'd put a bunch of tables together. But we would enjoy it, the time together, the fellowship together over some food, just hanging out, being together, laughing, enjoying that time. And I know some of those things have gone away from the situations we're in with COVID. But just that little moment of joy and celebration, it's like during this time, we have to be so intentional. What would it look like for you? What does it look like for you to have joy and celebration in your life? And I think part of it, we need to be intentional about that. See, here's the deal. So much in our world now, I think, just robs us of our joy, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but as I've looked back over these last years and I listen to the news or I see things on social media, and at times, I just have to stop. I just have to stop. I have to take a break. I have to get away from it, because the reality is that so much of that is saying all of this negativity, and it impacts my joy. How is it impacting you? Do you have joy? Are you feeling that joy today? Because if you're not, maybe you have to look at some of those things and say, man, it's time to stop, to take a break, take charge. Church, we need to be joyful people. We need to find the joy in our lives. We need to celebrate it. See, joyfulness is contagious, and it's something that we will be passed on to others that surround us. Joyfulness needs to be part of our legacy. So start a legacy of joy today. That's the first one. All right, second one is to start a legacy of love today. How appropriate, right? Valentine's Day, start a legacy of love today. Verse 9 says, live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life that God has given you under the sun. The wife God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil. Solomon was known as a man of wisdom, and I think this wisdom is something that's desperately needed in our marriages today. Loving your spouse is a choice that we make each and every day. It's a choice that we make each and every day. And if we don't make that choice, if we're not intentional about it, I think things get out of whack quickly. Married couples, we need to love each other. We need to say that we love each other. I think sometimes we go, well, he knows or she knows that I love them. I don't need to tell them anymore. Like, no. You still need to use your words and tell them. In fact, I'm going to have you practice right now. If you are here with your spouse, I want you to turn, look them in the eyes. You can't just say it and turn away. Look them in the eyes and say, I love you. Yes. And even online, do it online as well. And here's the deal. It doesn't count, guys. You need to say it sometimes when I'm not telling you to say it, all right? It's important for us to say that. We need to use our words, but not only do we need to use our words, we need to show each other that we love them. Because here's the thing. I know for us, we get so busy and we forget to even like date each other or go on an adventure with each other. This last week, my wife and I, went up to the mountains and we went on a little snowshoe trail, and we just went for a little bit of walk and got to be out in nature and an adventure together. And I know it's so good for us to do that, and we forget those things, but we're reminded of doing those things to be able to enjoy each other and showing that we love each other. Another thing I want to encourage you to do is to reflect and dream with each other. How many times Have you actually done that, where you sit down and you reflect on life and you dream about the future? One of the things that we've made a habit, except COVID interrupted it this year as well, was that on our anniversaries and New Year's Eve, we would get together for lunch, and Terry and I, we sit down and we reflect back over our last year. And we look at our last year and we go, okay, how did it go? How do we do the things that we said we were going to do? What does that look like? But then we take time to dream about the next year. Set some goals about the next year. Think about the things that we can do together. And here's the cool thing. It brings our hearts together. It allows us to pursue things together. It helps us understand what the other person is pursuing and supporting them in what that is. And if you're married and you have kids, not only are you called to love your spouse for your spouse's sake, but when you do it, you're setting an example and leaving a legacy for your kids. Parents, know that your kids are watching you. As you love each other, will make a difference on what your kids see, on how they should love their future spouse. So important for us to do that. Our choices to love each other well as husband and wife in a family can ripple for generations beyond our time here on earth. Let's make it a priority. Let's start a legacy of love today. And if you're not married, man, there are other people in your life that you can show this love. We are all called to love our neighbors. It's part of the commandments that God gave us. And Jesus said, hey, do this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's start a legacy of love today. Third one is to start a legacy of serving today. Verse 10, whatever you do, do well. For when you go to the grave, there'll be no work or planning or knowledge or wisdom. While we are alive and able, we've been called to work. And when we work to the best of our ability, that's really what it's all about. Another translation says it this way, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all of your might. Give it your best. Solomon is telling us that if you've been blessed to work, give it your best. Give it your best. As we serve others, as we serve people, whether it's at work or whether it's our family, our community, we need to give our best. If you heard the intro, Pastor Brandon was talking about our mission statement to help people encounter the real love of Jesus, discover their real purpose, and become bold agents of real change. This idea of becoming bold agents of real change is really all about how we serve others around us, others in our family, in our work, in our community, our neighbors. How are we serving those around us? Jesus gave us all kinds of examples. As we see what he did, he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. All what we see him doing is serving others well. We are called to serve one another. And if you want to leave a life of legacy, a legacy that is meaningful, man, invest in the life of a child. Invest in the life of a child. If there's some place maybe in our community that you can find to serve, I'll encourage you to go do that. We also have opportunities even here. We've been talking about that over the last month or so. Even in our children's ministry, our Foundry ministry, right now we've got our first service open, and we're trying to look and gather a team together to open up our second service for our children's ministry, looking for people to step in. And I'm telling you, if you want to make a difference in the life of a child, it's going to change generations. It is a legacy building. I can remember back to a church that I was part of called Jacob's Well. I remember walking down the hallways one day and walking down in our hallway, and they were coming right next to our children's ministry hallway. And there's a little kid that came running out of that hallway and says, I love God now. And it was just so exciting to see the excitement in that kid's eyes about his love for God. It's because someone decided to give an hour of their day to invest in the life of a child. How important is that? How valuable is it to build a legacy by serving and serving a kid? I want to encourage you to find out. If there's other areas you want to serve, you want to find out more information, I encourage you to download our app. And there's a little button you can click on just says serving. You can find out about all kinds of different opportunities. Our team would love it. And here's the deal. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be able to answer all the Bible questions. Our team does a great job of helping you get to where you need to and provide all the information that you guys need. So I encourage you to start a legacy of serving today. If we want our lives to be meaningful, if we want our lives to really matter, part of it is all about this six-word story, about us building that legacy, of building a life of serving, building a life of joy, building a life of love. And we need to start it today. Because as we live that out, as we live that out in our day, it'll go far beyond what today is and will impact our legacies and those all that come behind us. So my question is for you today, is if you were to die today, what would your six-word story be? What would your six-word story be? How would you describe your legacy? Would it have anything to do with joy? Would it have anything to do with love or with serving? Or would it have some things in it that you're like, that's not really what I want it to be? That's not the story that I want. That's not the answer that I like to hear. That's not the thing that I want to hear said about me when I'm gone. Because see, here's the reality. If we look at our story, if we look at how we're going to end up, we have a choice of what that's going to look like. And we can start that legacy today. And here's the deal. If you have never given your life to Christ, and today is the day that you would look at and you're like, you know what? I look back on my life and I'm trying to live it on my own terms. I'm trying to live it in my own way, not the way that really God wants me to, but I'm trying to live it my own way and it's not really working out for me. Maybe your six-word story would be gave up control, trusting in Jesus. And I'm telling you, if you decide to make that choice today, it's going to be the best choice from this moment on to form your six-word story, to form your legacy. Because it's the opportunity of you saying, you know what, God, I'm not a very good driver. I'm not the very good driver of my life. I need you in my life. And if you are there, and if you are at that moment right now, and you're saying, God, I need you, I'm going to ask you just to pray this little prayer. Just say, Heavenly Father, Lord, come into my life. Jesus, I want to follow you. I want you to be the Lord and leader of my life. Holy Spirit, come in me. Shape me, mold me, change me from the inside out. Lord, I want to follow you. And if you've made that decision today, know in confidence that your life can be changed. And this could be probably one of the best moments of your life to look back on and say, man, that six-word story described that moment changed my life. If you're here today and you're making that decision for the first time, I'll encourage you to come up and talk to me later. I'll be here after service up front. I'd love to help you take that next step. And if you're online, man, raise your hand. Let us know. There's also a link that's going to be posted. We would love to be able to follow up with you and give you some next steps in following Jesus. But for the rest of us, if we've already given our lives to Jesus, if we've already walked down this road, but we still look back and we are living a life of regrets, we have an opportunity in this moment to change that. Say, no, it's not going to be that way anymore. Because I want to live a life of legacy starting today, one that will make a generational impact. And if you didn't have good examples in your life, man, I apologize for that. That's hard. But you can change the life for the next generation by us making the decisions today to start a legacy of joy, to start a legacy of love, and to start a legacy of serving. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for who you are. Father, I know that so much of our lives are filled with all kinds of different things that we have to deal with. And there's challenges in our world and challenges in our life for each and every day. But Father, right now, we want to make a decision to make a difference in our lives, to change the way things could end up, by making a decision to change our hearts today. Father, I pray that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us, give us wisdom to make the right decisions in our lives, to choose to live a life of legacy today. Lord, we love you. We pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Thanks for checking out this week's message. If you'd like to get involved here at Northern Hills, check out our website at nhills.org or download the Northern Hills app. We hope to see you again soon.